name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's gospel gives us a very vivid picture of the essential relationship between a thankful heart and a human being and the remembrance of God in that same person. The following homily is not original with me. It is given anonymously by another priest. I don't know who it was. But when I read it, I didn't think I could improve on it any. So bear with me. I've never done this before, but I think it's worth hearing. In today's account of the healing of the 10 lepers, we see a paradox. The sickness leads to God, while the healing leads away from Him. Let us look at the gospel story more closely. 10 human beings suffer from a terrible sickness without cure in those days. As if the physical suffering were not enough, they also suffered psychologically, which is a worse kind of suffering. Outcast, abandoned from kin, friends, and society. But there in the midst of their agony and despair shines a ray of hope. The Messiah is passing by, the man in whose word even the evil spirits obey. Then prophet of God, the prophet of God who cures everyone just by placing his hands on them or by a voice command. They had to see him. Jesus, Master, have pity on us, they cried out from a distance. We don't ask for riches and honors. Just free us from this terrible affliction that eats our body away. Nobody else can cure us. Only you can. Jesus heard their cry from the depths. The benefactor who came to heal every sickness and every malady of his stray creation heard their plea and came to their rescue. Show yourselves to the priests to certify your cure, he said. The 10 immediately began their journey, somewhat disbelieving, but motivated by a glimpse of hope. As they walked, they felt the strength coming back to their sick body. Their wounds began to heal. Oh, what a feeling! What a joy! Healed! There at the peak of their exaltation, at the highest moment of their happiness, they sinned most grievously against God. In their great joy, they forgot their benefactor. Ingratitude, forgetfulness sank in. They forgot to return and express their thanks. Except for the one, the half-breed, the hated Samaritan. He remembered. He felt the need to thank the benefactor. Seeing that he was cured, before he even showed himself to the priests, he offered his doxology and thanksgiving to God, recognizing him as the author of everything good. Alas, my brothers and sisters, in the 9, we view ourselves, our corrupt nature, our human ingratitude, our forgetfulness of God. In time of need, of pain, and sorrow, we cry to God. As soon as things improve, the veil of forgetfulness falls in. We see this in the history of the people of God narrated in the pages of the Bible. When God rescued the Israelites from the hands of their oppressors, after they had crossed safely the Red Sea, while the Egyptian army had drowned, Moses raised a hymn of praise to the Lord. In Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. But the people forgot who led them out of Egypt. So they built for themselves a golden calf to lead them. They erected an idol. Around it they danced ceremoniously and sang, the people sat down to a feast which turned into an orgy. That was their thank you. God knows the frailty of human nature, but that does not mean he condones it. That's why he gave solemn warnings against forgetting him. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow from you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Deuteronomy 8:11, verses 11 through 18. Unfortunately, the people forgot their God. They abandoned him and they rejected him. They lived in comfort with possessions and earthly blessings, with pleasures that do not come from God, but from the senses and from matter. And in Deuteronomy 32, we read, the Lord's people grew rich but rebellious. They were fat and stuffed with food. They abandoned God, the Creator, their Creator, and rejected their mighty Savior. They forgot their God, their mighty Savior, the one who had given them life. Wonder why we occupy ourselves with Israel and their history of so long ago? Not only because we should learn from their experience, but also because the Lord speaks directly to us in our situation. Our contemporary life, with its comforts, earthly pleasures, and enjoyments of the good things in life, makes us particularly vulnerable to the grievous sin of forgetfulness of God, of our dependence on him, on expressing our thanks and appreciation to him for everything that we receive in life. Oblivious to God's existence, we plan and organize our life, our assets, our retirement, as if we were in total control. Like the foolish rich man, we think we have figured everything out for a life of ease and relaxation, of feasting and enjoyment. Today, more than ever, on a global scale, man has forgotten God, ignoring his very existence. Contemporary man is driven away from God not so much by industry, science, technology, and their accomplishments and promises, as by their byproducts of superabundance, overfill, good time, fatness. Even religious people, people of prayer and piety, drift along an existence that pays lip service to God, barely recognizing his omnipotent presence, benevolence, and kindness. Until the tests come, then the pain wakes us up to the stark reality of our frailty and weakness, our total dependency on God. Disaster strikes, and then all of a sudden we remember that God exists, that he is our Father, and we run to him for protection. Thus we vacillate between turning to God, to his mercy, loving kindness, and care, and relying on ourselves. We are turned on and off to God, depending upon our state, the difficulties we encounter. When we encounter sickness, setbacks, suffering, adversities, misfortunes, death in the family, we find ourselves on our knees imploring God's mercy. Then when the storms have passed, when life is once more turned to normal, quote unquote, we forget God and we no longer seek him. When we are filled with material possessions, wealth, riches, money, and the comfort they bring, oblivion of God settles in. The earthly goods pull us as another spiritual gravity towards earth. A strange and paradoxical situation indeed. When we enjoy the blessings, then we forget the benefactor. We remember the giver when the gifts are taken away. Of course, there are the few, 1 out of 10, who do not forget God. There are those who recognize Him as a loving Father, who takes care of His children in the best way possible, and they gratefully raise their hymn of thanksgiving, praise, and glorification to Him. Yes, there are a few, but the many go on their merry way, lost in dangerous pastures, away from the protection of the sheepfold and of the good shepherd. The 1 and the 9, with whom are we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.